Welcome to the Gathering Place Silverton Teaching Podcast. We are a community committed to helping people learn and live the way of Jesus in Silverton. We believe that our growth happens best within community. If you're not yet a part of a Jesus-centered community, we invite you to join us for one of our Sunday gatherings or go to gatheringplace.faith to find out more about how to get connected.
Well, good morning, you guys. I am Lainey Bliss, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at the Gathering Place. I just want to say I'm so glad to see all of your smiling faces and say that if you guys are new here or this is a time where you're visiting, we're just so, so glad that you're here. Want to let you guys know, if you have kids that want to sit at the back tables and color or do crafts, we are totally down for that. We love kid noise. It does not bother us. We love your kids here. So, well, a few weeks ago, Pastor James asked me if I would teach this morning, and I was like, sure, yeah. But because we're in between sermon series, I said, is there anything you want me to teach on? And to my horror, he said, no, just teach on whatever you feel like God is asking you to teach on. Here's the thing. I just came out of like the busiest season. I was planning and prepping and then running summer camp. My job is kind of crazy right now. I'm so excited and giving my time here at the Gathering Place. My family's been vacationing. I'm desperately trying to shut down my photography business and I just keep accidentally taking new clients. Ugh. I'm a little bit overwhelmed. And then this guy, my so-called friend, says, teach on whatever. And I will not lie, I panicked a little bit. Immediately, I began to plan and fret and control. And I thought, well, you better make this one good, Lainey, because it's the first time your church, your new church, is hearing you teach. And it would be a real bummer if you stink. And then I immediately started running through the catalog of all that I could teach on, and I was just trying to figure it out myself. Why? Instead of immediately saying, God, I give this Sunday morning to you. What do you want for us to hear today? I just immediately jumped into trying to control it. Here's the thing. I am full of confidence that God has put a calling on my life to be a minister of the gospel and to be a bright light guiding people to Jesus. He's done that work in me. And I'm also fully aware that James is going to ask me to teach. So I ask myself again, why was my first thought to go, I got to figure it out? And still, that is the first response I have. My humanity, figure it out myself, control freak, rears its ugly head. And thankfully, we have a God who's so faithful to rein us back in when we try to get out ahead of him. I think this is something we all struggle with a little bit, am I right? Control and trying to figure out life all our own without God's help. Ooh, okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the topic that you've given us to teach on and talk about. Lord, I pray that each of us would have ears to hear what you want to say to us in this. Lord, I pray that you would put only the words you want me to speak in my mouth. And Lord, I pray that, man, as this community is growing and developing, Lord, that words like this would knit us together rather than anything else, Lord. We love you and we praise your name. Amen. Okay, so this morning, spoiler alert, God did give me a word to speak on today. This morning, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite portions of scripture, actually, Psalm 23. So I'm going to read it to you guys. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Ooh, amen. That is like so good. We're going to break it down, but I mean, Is that not the best? What an incredible depiction of the character of God. He's so good. So let's take a look at specifically the things that this psalm says God does for us. He gives us everything we need. He gives us rest. He leads us through beautiful, peaceful places. He renews our strength. He guides us down the right path. He walks close to us. He protects us. He comforts us. He provides a feast for us. He declares victory over our enemies. He honors and anoints us. He blesses us. He pursues us. He provides us with a home forever. Incredible. Anyone else want all of those things? I do. This is all true, and it's so good, and God does have this on offer for us, but we have to start by focusing on the first verse. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Okay, let me get my little grammar nerd hat on. The semicolon in this verse, you guys see it up there, denotes a close relationship between two complete thoughts. That's what the semicolon does, right? So in this verse, David, the writer, is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, connected to that, he gives me everything I need. So here's our big idea for the morning. Before we get to the blessing, we have to be submitted to the shepherd. Okay, so maybe some of you guys have heard the metaphor that's common throughout scripture about how we are like sheep and God is like our shepherd, right? Well, I was doing some research into sheep this week and I learned a few things. The first is that sheep are vulnerable creatures. They wander off easily. They don't naturally know where to find like good food and water resources. And they have no way to protect themselves in times of danger. That's why they need a shepherd to guide and protect and care for them, right? I also learned that sheep, while commonly thought to be dumb creatures, I thought they were kind of dumb, are in fact not dumb. They're simply wired differently. They can recognize faces and remember paths. I'm gonna not lie, my mom doesn't even remember how to get home sometimes. Like, remembering paths can be really difficult. And they even sense the emotions of other sheep. But their strongest instinct is to stay close to the flock and follow their shepherd. They are wired more for dependence and community than self-sufficiency. I think this is how we are wired too. Yes, we have self-sufficiency. We try to get ahead of God sometimes, but his intended plan for us was always to live in dependency and community with him. He wants to be our shepherd. He designed us for this type of intimacy and relationship with him. So last week, if you were here, Jeannie talked to us a little bit about how our first act of submission to God is salvation in Jesus' name. But beyond salvation is what we call sanctification. So what does this mean? Sanctification is the ongoing process by which the believer is made holy or set apart for God and transformed into the likeness of Jesus. We talk about this a lot here at the Gathering Place. We say we want to know Jesus so we can become like Jesus, so we can do the things Jesus did. We want to be Jesus-y, right? Have you heard us say that? We want to be Jesus-y. So as we make the choice to make God our shepherd, we have to continually submit our present lives and, submit and present our lives, every aspect of our lives to God for his purposes. This is really hard work. Can anyone agree? It often costs us something to submit ourselves to the Lord. But in the end, as we bring God into our lives and make him Lord over everything, we get the blessings that come when he is our shepherd. So how do we do that? Well, first, in order to make the Lord our shepherd, we have to give him authority. I'm gonna fill you in on something about me. I love authority. I'm not even joking. I love authority. Truly, my friends and family will tell you I'm the happiest rule follower ever. I love to know the rules, I love to follow them, and I love not having to think about things because someone else has already thought about them, right? I'm commonly referred to as the safety monitor in our family and in our youth ministry and in all areas of my life because I like the rules. They make me feel good. The boundaries help me feel secure, right? Anyone else like that? Yeah. I know for a fact there are also people who don't like authority in the room. That's okay. God makes us all differently on purpose. Amen? But the fact remains that this girl, she likes to color in the lines. Listen, I know we live in a cultural time where authority is like maybe a word that doesn't sit well for some of us. And I want you guys to know that I hear that and I feel that. I don't want to submit to any authority that isn't trustworthy and for me, right? I understand the tension of that word, authority. But when I say we need to give God authority in our lives, I don't mean to say, like, blindly submit to whatever Christian doctrine you come across first, right? There are a lot of authorities in our world that are actually not teaching the way of Jesus. Instead, when I say that, and when we talk about making the decision to have faith in God who is greater than us, we choose salvation, then sanctification becomes an option for us, right? That ongoing process by which the believer is made holy or set apart for God to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. We get to choose to actively participate by aligning ourselves with the shepherd. So let me give this example. Road safety. So that's an authority that is meant for us, right? Rules of the road. Speed limits, they keep us safe. Rules of the road are meant to protect the people. And we get to choose to participate in them or not. Maybe we think road safety is flat out stupid. Why would anyone secede their freedom to follow the rules? Maybe we think, hey, road safety is in theory a good thing, but I don't really care. Whatever happens, happens. And maybe we think road safety is probably good, but I hate following the rules. And I do not want to be limited in what I want. I'm sure that many of us can identify those feelings, right? If we think about our life, how many of us want to surrender our wants, our desires, our freedoms, our comfort, our pleasures, or otherwise to follow what feels like rules, right? That's not something that most of us want to do. But here's the thing. When we choose to participate in road safety, even if it feels limiting, we get the best for our lives. We get boundaries that keep us safe. We get to live life not in jail. We get to not be a pancake on the road, right? We get to travel from place to place. There are new freedoms that are unlocked for us that we maybe never thought of because we are submitted to the road authorities. Yes, in order to participate in road safety, we have to be submitted to the road authorities. We have to agree and trust that this authority that said 55 miles per hour was probably knew what they were talking about, and they gave us an appropriate boundary, and going above that puts us and others at risk. We have to be willing to set aside speed or doing whatever we want in order to receive the benefits. So here's the connection. We get to choose whether or not we participate with the shepherd. We can be sheep that are saved and still not submitted to Jesus, right? And if we live that way, we might not receive the blessings that God wants to give us because we're not choosing to live under the authority, the leadership of Jesus. Before we get to the blessing, we have to be submitted to the shepherd. So you might be thinking, okay, Lainey, in order to get God's blessings, I just have to do all these things right, and then I'll get the goods. What do you guys think? Is that how it goes? No. It's not about just following the rules so we can get the good things we want. We can easily get confused in this space of authority, right? and make walking with God all about following rules rather than having relationship. The beautiful thing about God's authority is that he is so kind and gracious. His authority is not about controlling us. Instead, it's all about how he wants to have trusting and faithful relationship with us. And in doing so, he gets to give us all that we need. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. It's that sneaky little semicolon. The two phrases are inextricably linked. When we make the Lord our shepherd and give him the authority and set aside what our flesh wants for what he has, this is automatically tied to God's desire and his action of giving us what we need. And why does he desire to give us everything we need? Well, because this was his original plan, his original intention for us. He intended to live in collaborative community and active relationship with us. That was the plan in the Garden of Eden. He intended to walk in the garden with us, providing all that we needed. And in return, we got to care for his creation. We got to grow and tend to the earth. And we got to love and worship him as the shepherd. This is what he wanted for us all along. So being in relationship with him means that we don't have to meet a quota of good before we receive his blessing. We just have to be willing to submit ourselves to his authority, his purpose. And then as we grow in trusting his goodness in submitted relationship, the blessing is a byproduct of what we're doing. It's not the goal, but it's what he gives us because he's a good God who loves to give us good things. His intention has always been to provide us with what we need. In making him our shepherd, by submitting to the authority, by being in relationship with him as sheep that trust and follow the shepherd, authority over us becomes authorship of us. Scripture says Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews 12:1 through 2 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the champion who authors and perfects our faith. Because of this joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Guys, there's never been a moment where Jesus wasn't thinking of you and me, right? Where he was not waging war on behalf of us, on behalf of our shortcomings, and making available the goodness that he has for our lives. This scripture we just read says, cast off every weight that slows us down, every thought that keeps us out of the safety of the road rules, right? Especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And then turn and fix your eyes on the shepherd, because he's not in the habit of failing us, you guys. This scripture says he's the champion. What do champions do? They win. They win. He has already declared victory for our lives. And as we turn to him and let him be the champion who writes and perfects our story, we get to have the benefit of him as our shepherd. There's this youth student that we have at this church, and she loves writing stories. She was telling me a bit at camp all about her original characters. And you guys, she knows them so well. She knows their names, their birthdays, their likes and dislikes. She knows their fears. She knows their motives and their heart. She knows them deeply. She roots for them. She wants good for them. She wants their stories to be filled with triumph. And she sees them from this zoomed out view and can see all the best things for them, right? And to her, it's not about the characters being a means to an end, but instead it's about her desire to help them become the best versions of themselves through growth that leads to victory, right? Yeah. She knows what they need. This is what the Lord feels like for us. He desires to see us brought from the page to life, right? Brought from death to life. The invitation to follow Jesus is to give him every area, access to the untouched, access to the sometimes dead things in our lives so that he can transform them and write a new story for us. That new story includes all of the blessings that we talked about earlier, everything we need. And I put them all back on the screen, and I put scripture with them because I want you guys to know that what we're talking about today is not just one scripture that says these are the good things that God wants to give you, but it is all through the story of scripture. God wants to give us everything we need. He wants to give us rest. He wants to give us beautiful, peaceful places. He wants to give us renewal of strength, guidance, closeness, protection, comfort, feasts and provision, victory, honor and anointing, blessings, pursuit, and a home forever. And it is the beautiful testimony of what God has brought to life through scripture for us. This is what he promises. It's written all through the word that he is making a way for us to have full and flourishing life with him. As his sheep that he cares for and directs and sends and provides for and gives rest to and comforts and goes before and defends and. This is an invitation to the full life, right? And it's not always, like, I want to say this here, life is not always awesome. Like, I know that there are people in the room that are like, I'm doing everything I can to submit my life to the shepherd, and it's really hard. And I want you to know, like, I am there, I'm with you. And the beautiful thing about God is that his promises are not that everything will be perfect all the time, but his promises are that he will give you comfort. His promises are that in the moment where you are fearful, his rod and staff, they comfort and protect you. He claims victory over the hard situation that you're in right now in Jesus' name. There's this word that the kids say. I think you still say it. You can correct me if you don't. But they call things mid, right? Mid is a descriptive word for like, middle of the road, not so bad, but also not very good, just eh. And what I know that I know that I know is that I do not want a mid-life. I don't want a mid-life. I want to have life to the full. I want to have life that I can depend on Jesus. I want to live life like a sheep, one that is wired more for dependence and community than self-sufficiency. I want to live a life that is kingdom first and Laney second. I want to live a life that is full and lively, not dead. This is what I desire. Do you guys desire this too? I desire this. And there are still things that rear their ugly heads, right? Things that keep me from surrendering my life to the shepherd. One area that I feel like I have to keep on leaving at the feet of Jesus is control. We talked about it. I ask God all the time for the spiritual fruit of self-control. It's definitely not a fruit that I feel comes naturally to me. But as I was thinking about this morning, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Laney, let's talk about the areas of your life where you have fought to give control away to me. And he said, relinquishing your control and submitting to my lordship is evidence of self-control, right? Relinquishing our control and submitting it to the Lord is evidence of the fruit of self-control. And it's something that grows, you guys. As we are in relationship with the Lord, he grows these things in us. Because I want to give away all my control, even though at times it's very hard for me. In my flesh, I want to make what I want happen. I want to put myself in spaces where certain people are. I want to make myself visible in moments where I want to be seen. I want to try to make happen what only God can bring into my life. And when I do this, guess what? I get in the way of what God has for me. Thankfully, we serve a God who is greater than my stupidity. And when I get in the way of the plan, he is kind enough to say, hey, let's talk about this. And sometimes it's gentle, and sometimes he has to like 2x4 me to the face with it, right? The Lord has been working this in me for a really long time. My story goes like this. When I was really young, I was called to be a pastor. But I was inundated with fear about that calling. My family are generational ministers. My parents, great-grandparents, great-aunts and uncles, great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents are all or were in some sort of ministry. And I have watched them struggle at the hands of the church. I've also watched them rejoice. But what I fixated on was the struggle, was the hard stuff. And for almost 20 years, I said, I will never be a pastor. I will never work in the church. Spoiler alert again. I was living outside of the shepherd's care, and I let fear control me. I was living the midlife, a life of dissonance, like the two aspects of me didn't feel good together because I knew what God had for me and I was ignoring it. But God, in his infinite kindness, met me there. He put people in my life that showed me there was a different way. He said, Lainey, this is an area of your life where you are living dead, and I want to write a new story for you. So about 7 years ago, I came to a point of surrender in this, and I admitted out loud for the first time to someone else that I was called to be a pastor. God then began to put opportunities in front of me where I could say yes to him, where I could be grown by him, where I could be given everything I need. I surrendered and daily still surrender my control in this area. And it has been the most fruitful and flourishing time of my life because God got to be the author. He's a way better storyteller than I am. Way better. And then last year, I said yes to my first official pastoral role. And then shortly after that, God called us all to come to the gathering place. And I look back and I see so clearly how he worked. And if I was trying to work, none of it would have happened. And I would have messed it up. None of this was planned by me. None of it was orchestrated by me. All of it was God writing a new story that I got to choose to participate in. So I'm not saying this to say I'm like got it all together and I'm the queen of self-control and surrender. In fact, this message is, yeah, I just gave you a story of where God has helped me with control, but this message has also brought me to my knees because God is talking to me right now about other areas of my life where I have to invite him in and I have to give him lordship. What I'm saying is that saying yes to Jesus and giving him authorship in my life has led me to finally feeling confident that when he brings me to a new yes, I can say, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm about to do. And yet I know that you're asking me to take this next step and I am willing. Those other areas of my life that he's poking at right now, I feel more confident to let him lead because I know that he has all I need. And I know that because he got me before and he got me before and he got me before and he continues to get me every day in moments where I don't even know that I need to be God and he's there getting me. I also know that I want to be more than anything else in my life cared for by the shepherd. I want him to take care of me. I don't want to have to figure it out myself. I want to say, that's my dad's job. It's not mine. So here's my last point for the morning, and Maura, you can come up and join. Making God our shepherd requires our active participation and active listening. I talked about it earlier. We get to choose to follow road safety. Letting God be the shepherd is not about passively saying, okay, here, God, here are the puppet strings, do what you want, here we go. No. Letting God be the shepherd is about actively participating in what he's authoring in our lives. We should be walking through our lives saying, okay, God, what do you think about this? What do you want me to teach on this Sunday? What do you want for me to do? Lord, how do you want me to act? God, who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to love, Lord? Father, should I pursue this relationship? God, is that for me? Lord, what areas of my life is there darkness and death that you want to bring into light? Dad, show me the way forward. Show me where to go. This is an act of coming to God and handing him the lead rope and saying, I'm going to choose to walk with you, not just give you a rope so you can drag my dead, limp body behind you. This is about relationship. It's about walking side by side. And here's the amazing thing. As we seek the shepherd, he's so good to talk back to us. He knows us so well. And as we invite him to lead us, he talks and we will learn to actively listen too. It's a two-way street. It's a relationship that we get to walk in community with him as he always intended. We get to choose how we participate with him. We get to choose to submit to his authorship in our lives and trust that he's at work. And in doing so, guess what? He provides all that we need. Isaiah 53:6 says this, all of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him, Jesus, the sins of all of us. He loved us so much that even though he knew we would walk away, he sent Jesus so that we could be brought back, so that we could be his sheep, because he wants to provide for us. In order for him to be our shepherd, we have to actively participate in the relationship. So I have a question for you guys this morning. What areas of your life do you need to submit to the authorship of the Lord? For the first time or maybe the 100th time? Take a moment and let's think about it.